We're going to be looking in John chapter 1. We're going to be going through a whole bunch of verses. I might be paraphrasing some of the verses, so you'll just have to read along to make sure that I'm doing it correctly. But as we look, we're going to be looking at Jesus' last and greatest miracle before his crucifixion. You know, this is the miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus. You know, and it ultimately led to Jesus' crucifixion, and it proved his power over death. We're going to get started in verses 1 through 5, and I'm going to try to do this without my reading glasses, so you'll have to bear with me. So that means sometimes I have to stand a little further away from the Bible so I can see it. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. You know, in man's world, that's called a hint. You know, we see that Mary and Martha, their brother was in need, so they sent the Lord a message. They basically said, you know, the person that you love, Lord, he's sick. You know that, you know, in man's world, and I'm going to tell all you ladies this, and I've told my wife this, men do not take hints very well. You have to flat out tell us what you want. You know, what Mary and Martha were saying is, Jesus, we know you could heal our brother. We need you to come back, and we need you to heal him. Lucky for us, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, knows what they wanted. He knows what they needed at that point. As we read on in verse number 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You know, as we look at this and we start breaking it down, you know, in Judaism, It was a obligation, a pious obligation to visit and pray for the sick. You know, Jesus had a reputation as a healer. You know, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus probably knew this. They may have even witnessed Jesus healing the sick. So they knew that he could do it. So the main reason for informing him that Lazarus was sick was kind of a polite request saying, Lord, we need you. We need you right now. We need you to heal our brother. He is sick. Now, as we read in verses 6 and 7, it says, when he had heard thereof that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Now, we're going to start looking at the timeline. We're going to start looking at the days. You know, Lazarus, day number one, Lazarus is sick. You know, and his sisters sent for Jesus. You know, and Jesus is 1 day's travel away from them at the time, so it took the messenger 1 day to get there. So the messenger leaves, Lazarus is sick, the messenger leaves, 1 day is gone. And it says Jesus remained there 2 more days. So that's day two and that's day three. We know that Jesus now traveled on the 4th day. So he travels back to visit Mary and Martha on the 4th day. And this is kind of important. You know, when we think about this, and if we do any kind of study, it means that when the messenger left, soon after that, Lazarus was dead. When we go to verse number 17, we find out that Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. So it's the 4th day. So he must have passed away soon after the messenger left. So we look at this, and after Jesus and his disciples, he says, we're going to travel back to Judea. You know, the disciples began to remind Jesus that the last time you were there, they wanted to stone you. They wanted to kill you. And we pick up in verses number 8 through 15. And we see this, and it says, his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things he said, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Albeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. And this next verse, as we look at it, this proves that men do not take hints. Okay, that you have to tell us flat out what's going on because we don't understand any hints. Ladies, please keep that in mind whenever you're talking to a man. Because most of the time, we don't understand what you're saying unless you flat out tell us. This is what Jesus said in verse number 14. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. They understood that. You know, that's something that the men understood, his disciples understood. And then he goes on in verse number 15, and I love this. He says, And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. You know, at this point, we see that in verse number 15, Jesus says, I'm glad for your sakes I wasn't there, to the intent that you may believe. This is a loose interpretation of this. Jesus is saying that he was glad that he wasn't there because you're going to see something that will strengthen your faith. In other words, he says you're going to be amazed. You're going to be astonished. It's going to strengthen your faith. It's going to strengthen your resolve. I like this next verse because I don't know why I think the next verse is funny, but it is to me. It might not be funny to you. I don't know if it was written funny, but right after Jesus said this, right after Jesus said, you are going to be amazed, your faith is going to be increased, we see that this one of the disciples who is famous for doubting, and his name is Thomas. You know, when Jesus says this, Thomas kind of whispers, I don't know if he whispered it, but he says to the other disciples, this is what it says. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, and I could just see the cynicism in his voice. He goes, Let us also go that we may die with him. You know, to me, that I don't know why I find that humorous, but I just do. And it's one of those things, it's like the cynicism that's going on, that, you know, they're afraid for their own lives, or he's afraid for his own life. And then as we move on, and at this point I have all kinds of little notes to the side. I'm actually folding these little things out. You know, Jesus and disciples, they arrive in Bethany on the fourth day. I have to excuse me there. They arrive on the fourth day. As we read on verse number 17, we're just going to jump ahead. It says, Then when Jesus came, he found that he had been laying in the grave 4 days already. You know, visiting and counseling the bereaved immediately following a loved one's death or a close relative's death is a duty of Judaism. You know, when someone experienced a death in their family, a loss of a loved one, everybody mourned. It was friends and relatives and neighbors. Everybody mourned. They all came together to support them. So the death of Lazarus in a small town would have attracted a lot of people. As we go on in verses 19 through 38, and we find out that Mary was surrounded by her friends and family. You know, Martha found out that Jesus had arrived, and she goes out and she visits him. And then when she comes back, she tells her sister privately. Her sister's in the home, and there's people around her that are consoling her and mourning her. And it's interesting, there's a phrase that Martha used when she met Jesus. And I think this is important. I'm going to have to read it. It says, as we pick up in verse number 20, it says, Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You know, then it goes on, and I'll tell you, this next passage is probably the best passage for salvation and for glorifying the Lord. As we see this, and it moves on to verse number 22, it says, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give thee." Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." There's Martha's faith. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this?" Here's Martha's testimony. She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come unto the world." And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary her sister privately, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." We see Mary or Martha's faith here. You know, Martha's testimony here. You know, we see that now she goes and she goes to her, and I can imagine this, the way I imagine this, I put myself in the place, and here's Martha. Martha comes into the house, and there's Mary surrounded by a large group of people, and she whispers in their ear, says, "The Master's come, he wants to see you." At this point, Mary gets up. She immediately gets up, and she goes to the place where Jesus is, and he's not quite in the city yet. Well, the people around her, she all of a sudden they see her get up, and they say, "Well, she's probably going to the tomb to mourn. Let's follow her." So along with Mary comes a crowd of mourners. As we move on, you know, we see that, you know, Jewish tradition, you know, and probably I have to go back to verse number 32. We see that when Mary is talking to Jesus, she uses those words, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." You know, many Jewish traditions, you know, are common Christian traditions today. You know, we pray for our sick. You know, we mourn with them who have lost loved ones. You know, another thing is we wait 3 days before we bury our dead. You know, the father of our country, George Washington, you know, it's been written about him that he was so afraid of being buried alive that he wanted his deceased body to lie in state for 3 days before they buried him. You know, this was kind of a common thing. You know, that and the tradition, the Jewish tradition that this comes from is the Jews believed that the soul kind of hovered above the body, you know, waiting to inhabit it for 3 days. But on that fourth day, all hope's gone. You know, we're in the fourth day now. All hope is gone. We see that Lazarus is now buried. He's in a tomb. You know, we see that you know, Jesus, you know, as he enters into the fourth day, you know, up until this point, Jesus had raised two people from the dead. In Luke chapter 7, you know, he raised the widow's son the same day of his death. And in Matthew chapter 9, the ruler's maid, you know, also happened the same day as her death. But now we just moved into the fourth day. You know, we find out that Mary had given up hope, that Martha had given up hope. And they both said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." You know, remember Mary and Martha on that first day. You know, they sent a message to the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew that he could heal their brother. They had hope. They had turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then all of a sudden, there's the tragedy of Lazarus' death. Their hope was crushed at that point. You know, as each day went by, you know, their hope and their faith, you know, became lessened and lessened. You know, to me, when both these ladies use the same verbiage with the Lord Jesus Christ, it meant that they, as they were mourning, they were probably sitting around and they were talking, if only the Lord Jesus Christ had been here, things would have been totally different. We wouldn't have had to go through this trauma. We wouldn't have to go through these trials and tribulations. We wouldn't have to experience mourning. We wouldn't have had to go through all this that we're going through right now. We see that even Martha abandoned hope. So go to verse number 39. I'm going to have to go back a little bit. Because in verse number 33 it says, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see." Verse number 35 is the shortest verse in the Bible. It says Jesus wept. And the crowd that was around, you know, this was kind of like the crowd that was around said, "Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him." And some of them, here comes the naysayers, because if anything happens, there's always the people that are the naysayers. You know, it says, "And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused even this man should not have died?" So we always have the naysayers. And I could picture Thomas in the background going, "Well, at least they didn't kill us." You know, that's kind of the Thomas thing. You know, because there's always the naysayers. You're always going to have them with you. You know, as we look, you know, I often wonder why Jesus wept. I came to this conclusion. You know, I think it was because Jesus looked around. You know, he saw the people mourning. He saw the people weeping. He saw their lack of hope. You know, he saw their grief, their despair, the hopelessness of the situation. And then we find out that something happened. You know, it was the fourth day. All hope was gone. But then Jesus came. You know, how many of us have been in that fourth day? You know, how many of us are in that fourth day right now when all of our hope is gone? You know, they sent that message. They had hope that Jesus would come and solve all their problems. You know, many times in my life, and probably in yours, we've reached that point that we're in that beginning of that fourth day when all of our hope and desperation, and sometimes I've prayed, you know, "God, if you would have just answered this prayer." You know, how many of us have tried to play God? How many of us have tried to tell God what to do? I do that all the time. He never listens to me, ever. So like I said, "God, this would be a great opportunity to do this." And he goes, "Nah, I ain't going to do that." You know, and we pray, and I prayed. I said, "Man, if you would have just did this, you know, everything would have been okay. Everything would have been all right." But as we go in verse number 40, we pick up and it says, "Jesus said unto her," I have to go back a little bit too. Sorry, I'm jumping forward. Verse number 39. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. You know, that fourth day is kind of an important day. You know, Martha's hope's now gone. You know, that soul is no longer hovering above that body, as Jewish tradition would say. You know, it's the fourth day. His body is decomposing. Life is starting to stink right now. You know, and we move into this, and Jesus in verse number 40 said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the door where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." And then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. You know, as we conclude this message in this sermon, you know, it was the fourth day. All hope at that point was gone. You know, there were many doubters in the crowd that followed Jesus, but Jesus came and he dispelled all the doubt. You know, he proved his power over death. As we look at that, as we looked at the consequences of this, it says, many believed on him that day. So we see that many believed on the fourth day. You know, as sometimes we struggle with life's trials and tribulations, remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is there even with us on the fourth day. You know, in Hebrews, we find out that there's a promise there. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So he's with us on day one, day two, day three, and even on the fourth day. That's a promise from God. You know, I look at this and I see certain things and I see the results of this. First of all, we see God's glorified. Second, we see that people are saved because of this. And then we also see that the believers' faith was strengthened. You know, the disciples that were around him, all of a sudden they saw Jesus' power over death. And this is leading to his crucifixion. They knew he had the power. You know, many people ask a question, well, why did Jesus wait until the fourth day? Here's your answer. To prove the impossible, to increase their faith, and to lead others to Christ. You know, Jesus had power over death. You know, when I say Jesus had power over death, this means that this translates, we have everlasting life. That's an important thing. Power over death is everlasting life. Jesus provides hope when all hope is gone. Let's go ahead and bow in prayer.